So we've come to item number 17 in our Statement of Beliefs in the Church of God International. And this subject is one I'm sure that is of keen interest to everybody here, because we all understand the doctrine of the judgment, that God is going to judge each one of us individually for the way that we've lived our lives. The handouts that I've prepared today, the coverage of the doctrine is going to be in just the first page. It's a two-sided page. I brought this as a reference. This is from the Home Bible Study course. And again, the subject here is Understanding Eternal Judgment. And so again, this is just a additional reference that you can take home. And if you want to... There's a test at the end of this Bible study, so if you want to test and see how well you understand that teaching, you could even take the test. But that's kind of homework that you can use after the service today. And if we have time, I printed out a bunch of judgment scriptures, and that's what I'm hoping we'll have a chance to spend a bit of time with those, because... It's an interesting subject and one that can be sometimes confusing as well. So to begin, on our main page, number 17, judgment. Here's the doctrinal statement that the church has. It says, "The time of one's judgment is the time of the opportunity for salvation, extending from one's calling by God until his death or the resurrection and Jesus' return. Those who qualify for God's kingdom, the overwhelming majority, shall inherit eternal life, and those who deliberately reject God's way shall be consumed in the lake of fire." So a fairly basic statement. I don't know that there's any church denomination out there that would necessarily disagree with anything that's said there. Accept Christ's sacrifice will inherit eternal life, and those that reject it will be consumed by a lake of fire. There's four proof texts that are listed there, so we'll just go through those now. Matthew 13:49 says, "So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So that confirms through Scripture the concept of a lake of fire for those that reject God's ways. Matthew 25:34 says, "Then the king will come and say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And it goes on and says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty." So this gives some reason why they were accepted by Christ, is some of the works that they had done. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin on the house of God. And if it has begun with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Verse 18, "Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear?" So this is some sobering words to say, to not take, you know, God's calling lightly, that God will not be mocked and he will hold you accountable for what you know. But the other key point there is the idea that the time is come now for judgment to begin with the house of God, meaning that those who accept Christ and are baptized, that's when their judgment period, again, in the upper statement it says it begins from one's calling until your death or until Christ returns. So there will be a generation of people that will be alive at the time of Christ's return, and they'll be turned into spirit, and they'll rise up to meet Christ in the air with those that have died. So for most people the judgment is from the time of their calling until their death. But there will be that special generation that won't necessarily see death, but will be, in a twinkling of an eye, turned into a spirit being, and you'll rise up to meet with Christ, with all those that have died before. Revelation 20:15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So the book of life there, being a, whether it's a literal book or this is just a symbol, it's an indication that not everybody automatically has eternal life now. That unless someone's name is written in the book of life, what awaits them is the lake of fire. And in Revelation 21:7, it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So again, the overcomers will receive eternal life, and those that do not overcome will receive the second death in that lake of fire. So judgment's a serious subject. Now, interestingly, in the Systematic Theology Project, which came out in about 1978 time frame, they actually had some different wording on the doctrinal statement for the judgment. So again, this gray area on the page here is words that have been taken out of the current statement of beliefs. So we'll get to see what's changed, and perhaps we can speculate why they might have changed that. So the doctrinal statement from the Systematic Theology Project says, "The time of one's judgment is a time of his opportunity for salvation, extending from one's calling by God until death or the resurrection." And here's the added words here. "During this judgment period, a person's mind is opened to understand God's way, and his actions and attitudes are being evaluated by God in the light of his way, of his way of life and his law. All human beings from all time shall have full opportunity for salvation, either now for the church, or during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, or in the great white throne judgment. Those who qualify for God's kingdom, the overwhelming majority, shall inherit eternal life, and those who deliberately reject God's way shall be consumed in the lake of fire." So I don't know if anyone wanted to speculate why they think that the gray area was taken out. I assume it's just to focus more specifically on the exact doctrine and not necessarily speculation, but to add content that's not needed to understand what the doctrine of eternal judgment has to do with. I actually like the what's in gray because I think it helps people picture a little more what that process is where God is judging people and how he's going to judge people. But I also understand why they might have chosen to take those words out just to clarify the teaching on eternal judgment. Once again, the doctrinal overview here says one of the most awesome truths of God is that all mankind from all time shall have an opportunity for salvation. And again, that's not something that all churches teach today. The attainment of eternal life in the family of God. No human being is doomed forever simply because he had never heard of Christ's name or never really understood God's purpose and plan. God makes it adequately plain that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He intends to give everyone a chance to know and understand his truth and have the opportunity to be with him in his glorious kingdom. Combined with this thrilling truth that all men shall have an opportunity for salvation is the fact that all men will not receive this opportunity at the same time. The time during which each individual is receiving his chance is the time of the judgment, the time of judgment. The term judgment, used in this context, is not restricted to passing sentence. Rather, it implies a process, a period of time during which a person's mind is open to understand God's plan, and during which his actions are under daily scrutiny by God in the light of that understanding. God is intimately concerned with his children and works in their lives to produce the best ultimate results. The parable of the tares of the field show that Christians start out as seeds and must grow until the harvest. Of course, this judgment process shall in most people's lives cover a period of many years. It's only at the end of this period that God shall make the decision of whether or not the person shall enter his kingdom at the resurrection. But judgment involves more than just making a yes-no decision. More than the simple determination of whether a person shall be granted salvation. For indeed, the overwhelming majority shall make it. Judgment also involves the reward that God shall give to each person who qualifies. There are different positions, different responsibilities in God's family. As Jesus related in the parable of the pounds, the servants who used their pounds profitably were all given positions of rulership, but the level or degree of their position was directly proportional to how much they had accomplished. The parable of the talents shows that God's reward each person according to what he accomplishes in relation to what he had to start with. The servant who started out with two talents and made and received the same reward at the end who started out with five and made five. And again, at this point, they list the scriptures that make up the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents. So we can skip over those. I think those are pretty familiar scriptures to each of us. Again, the bold statement at the end talks about in verse 29, "For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." So again, some people look at that and think that Christ is not righteous in his judgment, but you have to remember this is his money, and these people that he's giving to take care of his money are not, you know, are doing it with different degrees of ability. And so those that are not skilled at that, he's not going to leave, just as we wouldn't want to leave our money with a financial advisor who's not returning a profit for us. So it goes on and says, "Now, God has divided his plan into three great judgment periods, each of which details specifically with a different classification of persons. The first period of judgment begins at the creation of man and shall continue till the return of Jesus Christ. During this era, God has not chosen to call the vast majority of persons, but rather a small group, the elect. These elect have their minds open to understand God's truth and have been given God's Holy Spirit in this age. For these persons who compose the church or house of God, the period of judgment is now. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God," mentions Peter. "Those whom God has called now are not called because of an inner desire to serve God, but by virtue of God's mercy." So it's an interesting point that they make, that we who are here, we are baptized and called out of this world now. You know, we're not doing the same thing as everyone else in Ottawa on a Saturday afternoon. We're here at church because we believe that keeping the Sabbath is important for us and important to God as well. So the reference here is that there are three periods of time where God is going to call people, and the people in this room are being called in the first period of time. It's not because God looked down and saw something great within any of us, but it's God's mercy and God's grace that he extends to us that he calls us now, but he believes that we can make it now as well. The people who are called at this period of time have the greatest overcome as far as the influences of the world, the internet, television, all the different temptations and things that are out there make this period of time the hardest time to be able to succeed in your calling. But as part of that judgment, God grants a greater reward for those who overcome at this time. And again, the reference to the people in God's church that make it, that those that are faithful until death, they'll be kings and priests with God in his kingdom. So it goes on and says, all those who have qualified for God's kingdom from Adam's time until the return of Christ shall be resurrected at his return. The end of this first judgment period is marked by the first resurrection. So that's when Christ returns. During his 1,000-year reign, Christ and the saints shall establish God's government on earth, shall reconstruct society so that in every way it conforms to God's holy laws. God shall also pour out his spirit upon all those who will be alive during this time and shall open their minds to understand the gospel and give them a chance for salvation. The millennium marks the second great judgment period of God, the time when human beings who live into the new age from the present age and those who subsequently are born as their offspring shall have an opportunity for salvation. So again, we look forward to Christ's return and then this 1,000-year reign of Christ. And during that period of time, this is saying that those that are alive are going to be given God's Holy Spirit, so they'll also have an opportunity for salvation during that 1,000-year period. And then the third section says, after the 1,000-year period, there is the great white throne judgment. And again, we in the Church of God are quite familiar with this because of the sermons that we hear every year at the Last Great Day. After the 1,000 years is the great white throne judgment. This spectacular event epitomizes the time when all who have ever lived and died without having a chance for salvation, never having heard about Jesus Christ and the plan of God, or never having their eyes open to truly understand the gospel, shall be resurrected from the dead to physical life. This time, their minds shall be opened to a full understanding of God's laws and his truth. Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken, that I have done it, says the Eternal. And that's a quote from Ezekiel during the Valley of Dry Bones. So at that time, when God physically resurrects a person who is dead and they're now alive, and he puts them and he gives them a place to live, that's going to be very eye-opening to people, and they'll no longer have these arguments that, well, I don't really believe in God because I've never seen him, or I don't believe in God because, I believe in evolution. I just believe in science. I don't believe that miracles can really happen. It's at that period of time when you were dead and then you're resurrected that all of your excuses and all of your foolish thoughts will be gone, because God will be there. He can answer. You'll have to answer to God. And again, most people are going to just be thankful that, wow, when I died, that wasn't the end. There is, and again, they'll also be thankful that God has a plan that takes care of them, that gives them an opportunity to know about God, to learn about God, and to live his way of life. And if they do that, then eternal life will be extended to them also. This third judgment period is the greatest of the three because it includes the innumerable multitudes of all humanity who have lived and died in ignorance of God's way. Although God wants all to come to a knowledge of the truth and earnestly desires all obtain salvation, it is nevertheless true that some few shall totally reject God and lose out on eternal life. Those who have adamantly rejected his truth, those who have committed the unpardonable sin by not asking God to pardon their sins, shall be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:14. These individuals are those who would never repent of their sins and shall therefore be put out of their misery by a merciful God. It would be cruel punishment for God to make a rebellious person live forever under his government when that individual has permanently rejected God's government and in his life by his actions and attitudes. God's fairness, concern, and love for mankind is exemplified by the three judgment periods defined above. His plan for salvation includes ample opportunity for all those who have ever lived and died to live a full physical life under God's laws, and then to qualify to enter his kingdom, and ultimately to gain eternal life as full members of his divine family.